This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. At my previous parish in St. Louis, I had a member by the name of David. David was a man at that time in his mid-30s who had been totally blind since an accident he had as a 5-year-old boy. I recall during one Sunday morning Bible class, a woman asked David if he was angry with God for allowing him to be blind for so many years. And I will never forget David's response. He said, "Angry with God for being blind? No. I'm just thankful to God that my sins are forgiven." David had no physical sight whatsoever. However, David's spiritual sight was absolutely perfect. Our sermon hymn for today is popular among most Christians, but did you know that the hymn Amazing Grace was written by a man who for many years had been an unbeliever? John Newton spent much of his adult life ignoring God and living as he pleased. He was guilty of many sins, as we all are. But the one sin he's most well known for was being a slave trader. That's right. John Newton captured human beings in Africa and brought them to the United States to be sold as property. Many of these people died on the voyage over from Africa to the U.S., and those who did survive, well, they suffered greatly in lives of slavery. But then one day, John Newton heard a sermon that convicted him of his sin and convinced him that he was a wretched sinner who deserved eternity in hell. However, John Newton also heard the precious good news. The good news of forgiveness and new life through faith in Jesus, God's Son. And you know what? This good news of forgiveness and new life in Jesus changed John Newton's heart, and he gave up the slave trade. In fact, eventually he helped work toward the abolition of slavery in America. John Newton also was moved to write the following words: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." You know, for most of John Newton's life, he had adequate physical sight. But sadly, during that same period of his life, he was totally and completely spiritually blind. But when the Holy Spirit convicted John Newton of his sin and then moved him to trust in Jesus as his Savior, then he was cured of his spiritual blindness. Now here's the blessed irony. In the elderly years of his life, John Newton actually lost his physical sight. That's right, as an old man, he was blind. But even though in his elderly years, John Newton was physically blind, his spiritual sight was absolutely perfect, as evidenced by the lyrics of the hymn he wrote, Amazing Grace. In the first part of today's gospel reading, we see that a man who is physically blind cries out to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, when the blind man calls Jesus the Son of David, you have to notice that. You see, when he calls Jesus the Son of David, he thereby shows that he believes Jesus is the promised Savior, the Savior promised in the Old Testament scriptures. You see, in the Old Testament, it teaches that the promised Savior of sinners would be a descendant of King David. So when the blind man calls Jesus the Son of David, he is thereby showing that he believes that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior of sinners. Now, the Old Testament scriptures also teach that the Messiah would prove that he is the promised Savior of sinners by performing various miracles, including healing those who are physically blind. Now, the man in our gospel reading knows this, and he hopes that Jesus will perform such a miracle on him. However, I'd like to point out that this blind man had already received the greatest healing possible. Even though this man was physically blind, he had been given spiritual sight. Remember, he called Jesus the Son of David because he believed that Jesus was the Savior of sinners promised in the Old Testament. This physically blind man had perfect spiritual sight. Jesus then says to the man, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Now, if you want to understand what Jesus is actually saying here, I need to help you understand the original Greek text of Jesus' words. You see, Jesus did indeed heal this man of his physical blindness, thus proving to all that he was indeed the Messiah. But when Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you," our English translation is not quite accurate at that point. Our English translation should actually read, "Your faith has saved you." Why do I say that? Well, the English word "healed" in today's reading translates a Greek word that should actually be translated into English as "saved." Because more often than not, this Greek word refers to a person who has received forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus. In fact, later on in our gospel reading, when Jesus says that salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus, he uses the same Greek word, referring to the forgiveness that Zacchaeus has received. And so even though Jesus physically heals this blind man, when he says to him, "Your faith has saved you," he's reminding the blind man that even before he was physically healed, he had already received the greatest healing possible. This is so important for us Christians to understand. You see, sometimes Christians today wonder why God doesn't heal us of our physical illnesses and injuries, just as Jesus did when he was on earth almost 2,000 years ago. But we must remember that Jesus didn't heal everyone. We also must remember that when he did heal people, the primary reason was to prove that he was the promised Savior. And now that he is risen from the dead, we no longer need any proof of that, do we? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't do physical healing today. Most often, God works through medical science to heal us, doesn't he? In a few rare cases, God may perform a healing miracle that baffles doctors. But the fact is, God doesn't give everybody physical healing today. In fact, what we need to remember is that even the people in Jesus' day who were healed by him, even they eventually got sick again, and guess what? All of them eventually died. Because that is our fate, this side of eternity. Therefore, the healing we should long for most of all is the healing that God has given to every believer. And that healing is a repentant heart and faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin and death. God has given you spiritual sight. And my friends, nothing is more precious than that. Now we're ready to examine the second half of our gospel reading, where we hear about a man named Zacchaeus. You might remember singing a song as a child about Zacchaeus being a wee little man. Zacchaeus goes out of his way to get a look at Jesus. Why? Let's get a little background on the man. We're told that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. You know, one of those guys who were known for being thieves and stealing from their own Jewish people. However, as Jesus enters Jericho, Zacchaeus goes out of his way to get a look at Jesus. Why? Well, Zacchaeus probably had heard about Jesus being the promised Savior, and how sinners could come to him and receive forgiveness and new life with God. In fact, he had probably heard that one of Jesus' own apostles was Matthew, a man who had been a tax collector, a man who had sinned greatly, a man who had stolen from his own people. Zacchaeus was maybe wondering if Jesus could forgive a man like Matthew. Maybe, just maybe, there's hope for me. But you know what Zacchaeus never expected? Zacchaeus never expected Jesus to speak to him in person, and then on top of it, invite himself over to his house. Nevertheless, Zacchaeus was overjoyed to have Jesus as a guest in his home. But remember how the crowds reacted to that? Remember what they said when they saw Jesus single out Zacchaeus and then on top of that go to his home? They said, Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And let me tell you, when they said that, they weren't smiling. They weren't saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. No, they were saying, can you believe that? Jesus has gone to be the guest of a good-for-nothing you-know-what like that. Why isn't Jesus coming to our house? He should be commending us for being good people. He should be commending us for not being like Zacchaeus. And then he goes to his house. What kind of savior is he? Sadly, even though most of those people in the crowd could probably see fairly well, they were totally spiritually blind. They did not understand why God's Son had come into the world in the first place. Now please understand, Jesus was not ignoring Zacchaeus' sin, much less affirming it. There's some people in the world today that have this confused notion that Jesus was walking around high-fiving sinners and affirming their sinful lifestyles. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I'm sure that once Jesus was in Zacchaeus' home, he lovingly but firmly confronted Zacchaeus about his sin and how evil it was. But I know that Jesus also said something else. Jesus also assured Zacchaeus that he could receive complete forgiveness and new life with God through faith in him. So how did Zacchaeus respond to Jesus' teaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins? Well, look at what the Holy Spirit moves Zacchaeus to say. He says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, why did Zacchaeus do this? Was he trying to buy salvation? Was he playing let's make a deal? Was he saying, I tell you what, Jesus, if you'll ignore all the sins I've done and the sins I probably intend to continue doing, I'll tell you what, let's make a deal. I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, and the people I have cheated, I'll pay back four times what I cheated them, and then you can ignore my sins. Deal? No, that wasn't what he was doing. You see, Zacchaeus knew that if he were to receive what he deserved, he'd have been in hell right then and there, And no amount of his money could have bought God off. Zacchaeus knew that he deserved nothing from God but his wrath. But here was Jesus, forgiving him as a free gift of God's grace because of the sacrifice that Jesus would offer for him on the cross. I'm sure Jesus explained to Zacchaeus that the reason he could forgive him was because Jesus would be taking all of Zacchaeus' sin and going to the cross with it and there suffering the damnation that Zacchaeus should have suffered. When Zacchaeus realized that he was forgiven as a pure act of God's grace because of the sacrifice God's Son would make for him, it transformed his heart. And the result was what he said. Zacchaeus was not doing this to earn salvation. He was doing this because he had been completely saved already. This was simply a response to the free gift of salvation that God had given him. Jesus didn't even ask him to do it. Zacchaeus just said in response to this gift of salvation, "Wow, I'm a new creation in you, Jesus. Now I get to live a whole new life." And I'll tell you what, to get started with this new life, I'm going to take some of my money, and I got plenty of it, and give it to the people who are starving and naked and homeless. I want to do that, Jesus. And as far as the people I've cheated, I know I've sinned, and you're going to die for that sin, but I tell you what, I'm going to pay them back. In fact, even though nobody expects me to do this, I'm going to surprise them and pay them back four times what I stole from them. And if they ask me why in the world I'm doing that, I'll tell them why, Jesus, because I met you. I was on my way to hell, and you came and saved me. Yeah, Jesus, if I go out and give to the poor, they're going to ask me why I'm doing that, and I get to tell them about you, Jesus. I get to tell them about you. Yes, in response to the forgiveness he received from Jesus, he worshipped and thanked God by helping the poor and paying back others whom he had wronged. The good news of forgiveness through Jesus' death for us changes our hearts, you see. And when our hearts are changed, we realize how worthless our lives of sin were and are, and by God's grace we strive to turn from them. Once the good news of Jesus transforms our hearts, we long to begin to do good works to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbor. The various good works that we do will be different for every one of us, but the point is, once Jesus' good news of free forgiveness and salvation captures our hearts, the result is that we will bear fruit for the Lord. And when people ask us why we're living the way we are, we get to point them to Jesus as the source of all of it. Just think of it, my friends. Zacchaeus had spent most of his life as a spiritually blind person who was on his way to hell. But by God's amazing grace, Zacchaeus was given spiritual sight. Zacchaeus now believed what God's word said about his sin, and he was broken over it. But even more, Zacchaeus now believed what God's word said about his Savior. Zacchaeus trusted in Jesus, and his life was changed forever. Now, when Jesus saw that Zacchaeus now had saving faith in him, remember what Jesus said? He said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." Now, what does Jesus mean when he calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham? Well, if you read the Bible, you find out that Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. When God first called Abraham, he said, "Abraham, through your descendant, through your seed, all nations will be blessed," referring to Jesus. Abraham believed in the Savior God would send, the Savior that would come through his own family line. And so Jesus and later the apostles like Paul would lift up Abraham as an example of a believer, someone who trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So when Jesus calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, he means, hey Zacchaeus, praise me, because just like Abraham trusted in me, now you do too. You're a son of Abraham, you're now a believer, you now trust in me as well, and because of that, you are saved. You know what? You also could be called a son of Abraham. If you trust in Jesus like Abraham did, like Zacchaeus did, then you too are a son of Abraham. Finally, Jesus also stressed that he came to seek and to save the lost. You see, left to ourselves, we would have been spiritually lost and spiritually blind forever. But Jesus came into this world to find lost sinners and to give them spiritual sight. In fact, those people in the crowds that were angry at Jesus for going to Zacchaeus' home, they were spiritually lost as well. They were spiritually blind as well. It's just that they didn't realize it. Jesus couldn't find them because they didn't think they were lost. Jesus couldn't heal them of their spiritual blindness because they thought they could already see just fine. That's why God does all he can to convince us that we're lost. That's why he does all he can to convince us that we're spiritually blind. Because then, once we realize we're lost, once we realize we're blind, then God can find us, then God can give us spiritual sight. And God has given you spiritual sight, hasn't he? That's why you're here today. That's why you're here confessing your sins and trusting in Jesus as your Savior from sin and damnation. You're here believing in Jesus because God found you. God gave you spiritual sight. And like Zacchaeus, you now get to worship God with your lives. You get to do good works in thanksgiving for the gift of salvation that God has freely given you. And when people notice the life you're living and wonder why, you get to point them to Jesus. My friends, no matter what sins you have done, Jesus has forgiven you. And because we are forgiven, along with John Newton, we can all sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Amen. Now,